Thank you, Bishu, and dear listeners, Sai Ram to all of you. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you all to this week's episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. As always, I'm being joined by Brother Sai Prakash from Team Radio Sai. Dear listeners, if you are a regular listener to this program, you will know that we study the 1990 summer course series, the discourses which Swami gave in that summer course, which started after a gap of a few years. We have studied up to 7 discourses in that series. We are going through the 8th one. But before we go into that discourse and what Swami has said as so far in that discourse, it is my pleasure to introduce you to this week's special guest. We have had many special guests in this show before, but we are very glad to have today in our midst our own Professor G. Venkatraman. Venkatraman sir needs no introduction to all of you, especially to listeners of Radio Sai. So without spending more time, I welcome Professor Venkatraman to our show, and Sai Ram to Sai Prakash too. Sai Ram sir, Sai Ram Sai Prakash.
Sai Ram Prem. And we welcome sir to the show. Indeed, we feel very privileged to have sir with us at this point in this program, because this is regarding Buddhi and the intelligence Swami is speaking about. Sir, we await your comments on this series. We have just started a series based on his discourses, and this is what you always said we should do. In our limited capacity, we have been trying to listen to Swami's discourse and summarize that segment on air. So hopefully today's segment will bring a lot of wisdom and buddhi to our listeners.
Sai Ram, and I am so happy to be here. If you want some comments on buddhi, you got the wrong guest.
We don't think so, sir.
Absolutely not.
But the people with buddhi don't talk. Those who don't have buddhi do a lot of talking. If you want a lot of talking, then you've got the right person. Okay.
Sir, this discourse, this series of discourses, as Prem was just introducing, we have been doing the 1990 Summer Course series, and Swami has been taking us step by step. You know, Swami started with how you are not the body and how you should not associate yourself with the senses. Then he goes on to how you are not the mind. And then now Swami has come to the state where he's saying you are not the buddhi. He's in fact telling about the buddhi. And like in every discourse, Swami has the syllabus properly chalked out, looks like. And he starts this discourse with various definitions of buddhi. So he in fact reminds us of the classic example of the chariot and the horses and the mind. He says the chariot is like the human body, the horses are like the senses, the reins are the mind, and the charioteer is buddhi. In fact, the chapter itself is titled Buddhi the Charioteer.
Right, and one of the discourses on the mind was hold the reins.
Yeah, that's true.
The second discourse on the mind.
And Swami starts with saying how buddhi is the link with the Atman. He says it comes in between the mind and the Atma. And there is the first definition of buddhi, which he says, nischayatmaka buddhi. It says it has the decision-making capacity. And then he goes on to say how it is also referred to as antarvani, that is the voice of the conscience. And he says in the Upanishads there's a classic example of shraddhavan labhate jnanam and samshayatma vinashati. These are the two ashtakshari mantras. And he compares them to the two banks in between which life has to flow as a river.
Right.
And that he said in connection to doubts, that is samshayatma vinashyati. Now, in the context of buddhi, he says where there is buddhi and there is clear discrimination and understanding, there is no place for doubts. So that is what we have covered so far in this discourse. And before we go on to the next clip, sir, I would like to ask you a small question. Mm-hmm. In fact, there is a doubt lingering here. Swami said that buddhi is referred to as the voice of conscience. And many times when we are caught up in life, in a dilemma, we get several answers from within. How do we differentiate which is the voice of the conscience and which is the voice of the mind? How do we really get to the right answer?
This is an interesting question. I think it was the year 2003, we were all in Kodaikanal. Mm-hmm. And Swami was there with the students.
Okay.
And he asked various people to speak. When it came to my turn, I raised this very question.
Okay.
You hear so many voices, how do you know the right voice from the wrong voice?
Okay.
And I attempted to give an answer. Swami didn't give any comment, but what happened was, after I finished, Professor U.S. Rao was also there.
Okay.
And he said that in one of the interviews, he asked Swami the same question, and Swami gave the answer which I had given. So by sheer luck and grace, now, I came out with the answer.
Now we are really waiting for the answer now.
How much do you pay me? Okay. See, basically, we are made up of many entities.
Correct.
And at a macro level, there are three entities. The body, which is gross. The mind, which is subtle. And the aspect of Atman, which is causal.
Correct.
How did these three things get into us? Well, it is easy to understand how gross matter gets into us. We eat food and automatically that aggregates, and that's how matter gets into our body. Today we can use scientific language and say atoms and molecules get into our body largely through what we intake. But what about the mind? If the atoms come from the inert universe around us, what about the mind? Where did it come? And what about the so-called Atman? Where did that come?
Correct.
It turns out that modern science has no answers for these things. There are three aspects to a living being, especially a human being. First is the body, then the life.
Correct.
And the life has got many aspects, including breathing, circulation, and one of them is the thought process.
Correct.
Most important of them is thought process. That is supposed to take place in the brain, but the mind is more than the brain.
Correct.
The brain is something you can take out and handle, hold in your hand, you can do surgery and all that. The mind is associated with humans, and modern psychologists refer to it as an epiphenomenon. That is, there is a phenomenon and you use that phenomenon to have a concept.
Okay.
Whereas, in Vedantic philosophy and in Swami's teachings, the mind comes from the subtle part of the universe. There are actually three universes.
Okay.
One of which is the material universe, then there is the subtle universe, then there is the causal universe. And he uses the words bhutakasa, chittakasa and chidakasa.
Okay.
Bhutakasa is the gross, chittakasa is the subtle, and chidakasa is the causal.
Okay.
So the mind comes from chittakasa, and the atmic aspect in us comes from the chidakasa.
Correct.
And chidakasa comes from Brahman.
Okay.
So in creation, there is no creation, there is only Brahman. But when there is creation, he creates three layers. First he creates the causal level, because that is the seed. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam, Krishna says. That is the, what you call the real comprehensive gene.
Correct.
That comprehensive gene is the causal aspect, then there is the subtle aspect and the material aspect. So there he creates three universes and puts them into our body.
Correct.
So that is first thing we have to understand. Okay, now let's come to the voices.
Yes.
The two competing voices are the mind. It is brand A. And the conscience, which is brand B.
Correct.
The fundamental difference between these two voices, apart from the fact that mind has a megaphone and you can hear it very loudly, it will say, on the one hand, you want to know what to do. You are caught in a moral dilemma. Should I do this? Should I not do this? The mind will say, on the one hand, on the other hand, if you do this, this is the advantage you get. If you do that, you get an advantage. That is the third option. You can do bypass both these things, and so on. It will confuse you with many options. The Atma, or the voice of conscience, will give you one answer, and only one answer. And that answer is based on truth.
Okay.
That is the point. However, there is a problem. As I told you, the voice of the mind is very strong because it has got very big, powerful amplifiers.
That's true.
And unless you quieten the mind, you can't hear the voice of conscience. In the old days when we had the canteen with stone slabs and all that, there used to be a small board. Mm-hmm. It is only in the depths of silence you can hear the voice of God.
Correct.
So you have to practice the drill. And when you practice the drill, this voice will become louder and louder.
Okay.
And the buddhi is the one that will convey. Mm-hmm. Listen, the conscience is telling this, you better follow. So, in a sense, buddhi is the spokesperson for the voice of conscience.
Correct.
Something like that.
Correct.
You see, these are all very symbolic way, way of explaining something that is very subtle and cannot be abstract, in a sense. That's the word I was looking for. Brain we can understand.
Correct.
You can actually take X-rays, CT scans, MRIs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the mind?
Correct.
Swami has told a story. Somebody came and complained about somebody. Then she said, she's mad, go and beat that person. Mm-hmm. So the fellow took and went to hit her. So what do you want to hit? So I want to hit you. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you are talking mad things. Do you know where the mad things are coming from? Mind. Then hit the mind, don't hit me. The fellow didn't know where the mind was. So this is basically the problem with the mind. Mm-hmm. But it's a very important concept. And in fact, many scholars say that the mind is a very complex entity. It has many segments, one of which is buddhi.
Correct.
And that buddhi has to be in contact with Atman. It's like a hotline to the Atman.
True.
So, there are the way to distinguish the two voices is, which voice gives a single answer?
Okay.
Unambiguous answer, which is based on the scriptures.
Okay.
It is not based on market. It is not based on what A says, what B says. Mm-hmm. It is not based on the rupee dollar exchange rate, nothing.
Mm.
If you can distinguish clearly, then you are home. But to be able to distinguish that, the phone connection must be good.
Good.
That is buddhi.
That's true.
That is buddhi.
In fact,
that connection is improved through sadhana.
Okay. In fact, in one of the earlier discourses, Swami says, what is a good thought and what is a bad thought? This is a definition which I have not heard before. Swami says, the thought that differentiates one person from the other, if the thought says that you are different from the other person, that's a bad thought. The thought which unites everybody is a good thought. So possibly the answer that buddhi is giving you at any point of time, it relates to the ultimate truth that all are one. Is that right? Or
absolutely. See, there is only one.
Yes.
And what you see are aspects of that one. At the working level, we do have to have this difference. And Swami himself has said this. He says, there is a man.
Mm-hmm.
His two eyes see three women.
Okay.
Does he behave in the same way with all the three?
Mm-hmm.
We can't say everybody is same and behave in the same way.
Correct.
There are practical realities connected with our empirical existence, with the body and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very clear. We should not confuse one with the other.
Correct.
He says, one of the women is his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to give respect. Another of them is his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He has to protect her, make sure she is taken care of and married to the right person and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So there he is a protector. Here he is a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Then he is also the husband of this thing. Their responsibilities are different. He and she both jointly run the family.
Correct.
So he has to have her consent and he must make sure she doesn't go on the wrong path and he must listen to her advice when he tries to go on the wrong path and so on. So his relationship with her is different.
Mm-hmm.
So this differentiation cannot be wished away completely.
Correct.
We need to keep that in mind.
Correct. Very true.
So otherwise we can do all sorts of crazy things. You can take a small baby and try to give it masala dosa. It'll die. Whereas a 20-year fellow, as they say, can eat a horse, as they say. So at the same time, an old man, you better not give him, ras malai and all that.
That's true.
It'll pack him up very quickly. So we have to be careful about when you differentiate and when you don't differentiate. When it comes to matters of truth, there is no difference.
Correct.
When it comes to matters of compassion, forbearance and forgiveness, there is no difference.
So what you're saying is that as long as you're in this world with an empirical reality, there is a set of rules, there is a set of understanding and way of life, which we have to abide by.
Absolutely. So. Swami makes it very clear in the Gita Vahini. Basically, there are two levels. One level lays down the basic rule, other level you apply.
Okay.
The level at which you lay the basic rule is Atman. And that is Atma Dharma. It is only a statement.
Okay.
One statement. It's like the constitution. And you must have various acts of parliament that are in consonance with the constitution. If they don't conform, the court will say this is a null and void. It will strike down the act. So these actions must be linked to the Atman. So Swami says very clearly in the Gita Vahini, actions are what you do in the world with your body and mind. Actions become necessary on account of circumstances in the world. Somebody comes and tries to rob you. You react. That's something that happens in the world. Every action is connected with what happens in the world.
Correct.
Okay. However, the motivation for the action should not be based on the world.
Oh, okay.
Selfishness should not be the motive of
whatever it is. Hatred. The motivation for the action must be based in your primordial roots.
Correct.
So they must be rooted in Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa, Daya, Karuna, Kshama, and so on.
Correct.
Therefore, when you go to those roots and you act, then differences will not be there. Because these are divine attributes. God does not distinguish anybody. That's why Swami says, all are alike, be alike to same to everyone. So, it depends on the circumstances. There are circumstances where you have to be make a distinction.
Correct.
But then again, that motivation is divine, because you protect a child from certain things for its good. That is dharma. Whereas, as Swami often has given the story of Ramakrishna Paramahansa and his disciples, and comparing with the car tire pressure. If the pressure is too much, you must let out air. If the pressure is less, you must add air. So these differences in behavior are modulated by empirical reality. But the motivation is always the same. I must do my duty. It boils down to that. And that duty must be based in divine roots.
Correct.
See, that's why Krishna says in the end, if you think you are fighting for your kingdom, you are on your own. if you think you are fighting for team dharma, then you are with me. Otherwise, I don't care for you. So that is that decision you have to make. Which team are you going to join?
Correct.
Because in the end he says, I have told you all, what's your decision? Then he says, Karishya Vachanam Tava. I follow you and I will do what you say. I hope that makes some sense.
Definitely, sir. It clarified.
In fact, in the discourse which Swami gave about the body, a long discourse Swami says how you should take care of the body, but there he emphasizes the importance of knowing why you're taking care of this body.
Absolutely.
The fact that this is a vehicle which is given to you to reach your destination. To keep that in your mind always is the most important thing.
No, like that is there is something more than that. Do you know what that is?
More than, sir?
More than, body is more than a vehicle.
Swami also says that it's a temple in which is housed the divinity.
Correct. So, the temple has an external structure. Then the Garbhagraha where the idol is.
Correct.
So, you can't have a dirty temple. The body must be clean. Then Garbhagraha is the mind. The mind also must be clean. Then only you can install the idol and do worship. Otherwise, God will say, I've got better accommodation.
One very powerful statement he made in the first discourse, I think, is the food for the body is given through the senses. You intake through the various senses, that's food for the body. Food for the mind is truth. That is what Swami said. Truth sustains the mind. I think the aspect of buddhi. Buddhi is what points the truth out to you.
Truth is one of the diets that the mind gets.
Correct.
Because the world as a lot of other alternates.
Okay.
Okay. Just as in food also, mm-hmm. you have good food and junk food.
Correct.
So you have truth and all that is opposite of truth.
That's true.
So the mind has got options. The market is very clever. It offers options. And that is where Buddhi has to play a role.
Correct.
See, this is made in Bangkok Rolex. This is made in Geneva Rolex. Don't buy this, buy this.
I think that is the segment where of the discourse we are actually going to, where he says the different aspects of Buddhi. And I think we should go to the clip and find out how Swami is connecting the previous episode, which ended with the concept of Ahankara.
Okay, we'll go to the... This is the third clip in that discourse.
Okay.
Idi kramakramena buddhi annatundi atmaku atyanta samipanga untundali.
This intelligence is very closely set to Atma.
Atmaku samipanam undutu cheta Atma yokka prabhavamu, Atma yokka prakashamu, Atma yokka prachinnata ee buddhini sarigiga cheradaniki avakasam untundali.
As the proximity of intelligence to Atma is very high, it is likely to get the as it is very near, it is likely to just have the impact and the influence of Atma on that.
Kanuka Atma Sakti Antaikudanu Inchuminchu Tombay Bhagamanu Buddhi Paiki Ravadani Kaukasamutundadi.
There is an opportunity for the atmic power, 90% of it, to reach this intelligence.
Deham manasupaina prasaristundi.
After this intelligence alone, this Atma power comes on mind.
Prabhavame indriyamula paina prasaristundi.
The power of mind is set on the senses.
Indriyamula yokka prabhavame deham paina.
The power of the senses is left on the body.
Buddhi suddhamaina addam vantidi ani anukunnam.
We thought that intelligence is like a pure mirror.
Suryuni yokka kiranamulu మన ఇంటిలో ప్రవేశించుటకు ఇది చాలా కష్టము.
ది రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద సన్ మే నాట్ స్ట్రైట్ అవే గెట్ ఇన్ టు అవర్ హౌస్.
అత్యంత చీకటితో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క గృహములో ఈ సూర్యకిరణములు చేరాలనుకున్నప్పుడు మనము అద్దమును సూర్యుని వైపును త్రిప్పి దానిని ఇంటి వైపును కొంతవరకు మరల్చినప్పుడు ఆ యొక్క సూర్యుని యొక్క ప్రతిబింబము అద్దం పైన పడి అద్దం యొక్క ప్రతిబింబము గృహములో ప్రవేశిస్తుంది.
ఇఫ్ యు వాంట్ the rays of the sun to reach your home where there is darkness, you make the rays of the sun reflect on the mirror, turn the mirror in such a way that the rays will reflect into the house and then light is shed.
Ee suryuni yokka kiranamulu direct ga room lo padadaniki veelu kaadu.
It is not possible to get the rays of the sun directly into the house.
Advaraane ee yokka grahamulo praveshinchali.
It is possible to make this rays go into the house through a reflection in the mirror.
అద్దము పైన పడినటువంటి యొక్క సూర్యకిరణములు క్రమక్రమేణా తమ యొక్క శక్తిని సొంత సన్నగించుకుని తదుపరి ఈ గృహములో ఆ యొక్క రిఫ్లెక్షన్ రియాక్షన్ చూపిస్తూ వస్తుంది.
ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ ది రేస్ కమింగ్ త్రూ ఫాలింగ్ ఆన్ ద మిరర్ మే నాట్ బి యాజ్ పవర్ఫుల్ యాజ్ ది డైరెక్ట్ రేస్ ఆఫ్ ది సన్ ఫాలింగ్ ఆన్ ద మిరర్.
దీనికి మరొక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ.
హియర్ ఈస్ వన్ మోర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
నీరు ఊట పుట్టిన చోటు చాలా పవిత్రంగానే ఉంటుంది.
ది origin of a river is sacred, the place. The place where the water spring is there, it is sacred, it is pure.
Kani kramakramena pravahinchi janula yokka upayoga sthayiki vachetappatiki malinyanni pondutayi.
By the time this water flows from the spring to the place where the men are using, it gets polluted and it becomes dirty.
Ade reetigane aatma yokka prabhavamu suryuni paina padi అనగా బుద్ధి పైన పడి, బుద్ధి నుంచి మనసు పైన పడి, మనసు నుంచి ఇంద్రియములో ప్రవేశించి ఇంద్రియముల ద్వారా శరీరం దగ్గరికి వచ్చేటప్పటికి ఇది పరిపూర్ణ మాలిన్యాన్ని పొందుతుంది.
ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ ఆఫ్టర్ కాలింగ్ ఇట్ ఆన్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అండ్ దెన్ ఆన్ ద మైండ్ అండ్ దెన్ ఆన్ ద సెన్సెస్ అండ్ బై ది టైమ్ ఇట్ రీచెస్ ది బాడీ దే వుడ్ హావ్ లాస్ట్ మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ పవర్.
కనుక మనము ఈ పవిత్రమైనటువంటి బుద్ధిని పరిశుద్ధమైనటువంటిదిగా తీర్చిదిద్దుకున్నప్పుడు ఈ బుద్ధి యొక్క ప్రభావము డైరెక్ట్ గా దేహం పైన కూడా పడడానికి అవకాశం ఉంటుంది.
ఇఫ్ వీ కెన్ మేక్ ది ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ప్యూర్ దెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ దాట్ ది పవర్ విచ్ intelligence derives from Atma may be directly allowed to fall on the body.
బుద్ధి యొక్క పవిత్రతకు బుద్ధి యొక్క నిర్మలత్వమునకు మానవుడు ప్రయత్నించాలి.
Therefore, man has to make effort to keep his intelligence sacred and pure.
దశోపనిషత్తులందు ఒక ప్రధానమైనటువంటి ఉపనిషత్తు తైత్రీయ ఉపనిషత్తు.
Among the ఉపనిషత్ తైత్రే ఉపనిషత్ ఈజ్ ఎ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్.
ఈ ఉపనిషత్తునందు ఈ బుద్ధిని ఒక పక్షిగా వర్ణిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
ఇన్ దిస్ తైత్రే ఉపనిషత్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ హెస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ ఎ బర్డ్.
దీని యొక్క శిరస్సు శ్రద్ధ అనేటువంటిదిగా నిరూపించింది.
ద హెడ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ బర్డ్ ఈజ్ శ్రద్ధ ఇంట్రెస్ట్.
కుడివైపునున్నటువంటి పక్షము అనగా రెక్క దీనికి రుతము అని పేరు పెట్టింది.
ద రైట్ వింగ్ హెస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ రుతము.
ఎడమ వైపునున్నటువంటి రెక్క పేరు సత్యము అని నిరూపించింది.
ద లెఫ్ట్ వింగ్ హెస్ బీన్ కాల్డ్ సత్యము ట్రూత్.
మధ్యనున్న దేహమునకు మహత్తత్వము అని పేరు పెట్టింది.
ద బాడీ ది ప్రాపర్ ఈజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ మహత్తత్వము.
దీని తోకకు యోగము అని నామకరణం చేసింది.
ద నేమ్ గివన్ టు ఇట్స్ టెయిల్ ఈజ్ యోగము.
అనగా శ్రద్ధ అనేటువంటి ఒక బుద్ధి అనేటువంటి పక్షికి శ్రద్ధ శిరస్సు.
ఫార్ ది బర్డ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ శ్రద్ధ ఆర్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఈజ్ ది హెడ్.
కుడి ప్రక్కన రెక్క రుతము.
ద రైట్ వింగ్ ఈజ్ రుత.
ఎడమ ప్రక్కన రెక్క సత్యము.
ద లెఫ్ట్ వింగ్ ఈజ్ ట్రూత్.
దేహము మహత్తత్వము.
ది రిమైనింగ్ బాడీ ఈజ్ మహత్తత్వం.
తోక యోగము.
The tail is yoga.
కనుక బుద్ధి అనగా కేవలము ఒక్క భాగముతో కూడినటువంటిది కాదు. రుతము సత్యము మహత్తత్వము కేవలము ఒక విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క యోగంతో కూడినటువంటిది.
Therefore, when you say intelligence, it is associated with ruta, truth, interest, mahatattva and yoga.
బుద్ధి సామాన్యమైనటువంటిది కాదు.
Therefore, intelligence is not ordinary thing.
ఇది ఇన్ని రకములైనటువంటి అంగములతో కూడినప్పుడే ఇది పరిపూర్ణ బుద్ధి స్వరూపాన్ని పొందుతుంది.
టు బి ఫుల్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇట్ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ ఆల్ దీస్ లింబ్స్ టుగెదర్. దెన్ ఓన్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫుల్.
విక్రమాదిత్యుని కాలమునందు
డ్యూరింగ్ ది డేస్ ఆఫ్ విక్రమాదిత్య
ఆయన మహాపండితుల చేత ఒక సమావేశం గావించాడు.
హీ కాల్డ్ ఫార్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ మీటింగ్ అసెంబ్లీ.
ఇక్కడ శ్రద్ధ ప్రధానమైనటువంటిదా లేక మేధ ప్రధానమైనటువంటిదా బుద్ధి ప్రధానమైనటువంటిదా దీనిని మీరు తేల్చి చెప్పాలి అన్నాడు.
హీ ఆస్క్డ్ ది మెంబర్స్ ఇన్ ది అసెంబ్లీ వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ శ్రద్ధ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఆర్ మేధ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ మేధ ఆర్ బుద్ధి విచ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ త్రీ.
బుద్ధికి శిరస్సు అనేటువంటి శ్రద్ధనే లేకపోతే ఇది ఏమాత్రము ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ వితౌట్ ద హెడ్ ఆఫ్ శ్రద్ధ ఇంట్రెస్ట్.
ఈ పండిత సమావేశంలో అనేక మంది అనేక విధములుగా కూడాను చెప్తూ వచ్చారు.
డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ ది అసెంబ్లీ గేమ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఆన్సర్స్.
కట్ట కడపటికి మేధాశక్తియే గొప్ప అన్నారు.
అల్టిమేట్లీ దే సెడ్ దట్ దిస్ పవర్ ఆఫ్ మేధస్ దట్ ఈజ్ ఎ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వన్.
విక్రమాదిత్యుడు పండితుడి యొక్క జవాబులకు చాలా చింతించి దీనికి సరి అయినటువంటి జవాబును చెప్పలేకపోయారు కదా అని యోచించాడు.
కింగ్ విక్రమాదిత్య వాజ్ ఫీలింగ్ సారీ దట్ ఎ ప్రాపర్ రిప్లై హాజ్ నాట్ కమ్ ఫార్వర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది పండిట్స్.
ఆయన చెప్పాడు.
హీ టోల్డ్ దెమ్
ఆశ్చ ఆస్థ స్వస్థాత్యాయ స్వాత్ మేధయే నిరుపయోగ కిం ప్రయోజన అన్నాడు. అనగా ఆస్థ స్వాస్థాయ నస్వాత్ మేధయ కిం ప్రయోజన. ఓ పండితులారా, ఆస్థ అనగా కేవలం ఆసక్తి.
ఓ స్కాలర్స్,
స్వాస్థ అనగా ఒక స్థిరత్వము.
డిజైర్ స్టెడీనెస్
ఆసక్తి స్థిరత్వము లేనటువంటి యొక్క మేధ నిరుపయోగము అన్నాడు.
మేధస్ విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ a desire and steadiness is useless, he said.
అనేక మంది చాలా మేధాశక్తులుగా ఉండవచ్చును.
దేర్ మే బి మెనీ పీపుల్ హూ విల్ హ్యావ్ దట్ పవర్ ఆఫ్ మేధ.
శ్రద్ధనే లేకపోతే ఈ మేధాతో ఏమి సాధించగలరు?
వితౌట్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ దట్ దే ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు అచీవ్ విత్ దట్ మేధాశక్తి?
ఈ మేధాశక్తి పైననే ఒక స్థిరత్వమే లేకపోతే ఏ కార్యం వాడు సాధించలేడు.
వితౌట్ దట్ సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ స్టెడీనెస్ విత్ మియర్లీ హ్యావింగ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు అచీవ్ ఎనీథింగ్ అట్ ఆల్.
శ్రద్ధ స్థిరత్వము రెండు ఉండినప్పుడే ఆసక్తి బలపడుతుంది.
ఇంట్రెస్ట్ అండ్ స్టెడీనెస్ అలోన్ విల్
కనుక మొట్టమొదటి ఆసక్తి.
ది ఫస్ట్ వన్ ఈస్ ఆసక్తి
స్థిరత్వము.
ద సెకండ్ వన్ ఈస్
ఈ రెండు కూడినటువంటిదే బుద్ధి.
ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ మస్ట్ బి అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ దీస్ టూ.
కనుక మానవుడు తెలివితేటలు ఎందు మాత్రమే ఆధారపడి తెలివితేటల్ని నమ్ముకుని జీవించటము ఇది కేవలం వెర్రితనం.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఇఫ్ మ్యాన్ థింగ్స్ దట్ క్లెవర్నెస్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అలోన్ కెన్ గివ్ హిమ్ సక్సెస్ హీఈస్ మిస్టేకన్.
దీనిపైన అమితమైన ఆసక్తిని మనం పెంచుకోవాలి.
దేర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫార్ ఎక్స్ట్రాడినరీ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఇన్ దట్.
ఆసక్తిని స్థిరత్వంగా మనం రూపొందింప చేసుకోవాలి.
యూ హ్యావ్ టు ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్ దట్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఇన్ టు స్టెడీనెస్.
అప్పుడే మానవుడు ఎట్టి ఘన కార్యం లేనప్పుడు సులభంగా సాధించగలడు.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ హీ కెన్ అచీవ్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఇన్ లైఫ్.
వావ్, దట్ వాజ్ అ డిఫికల్ట్ సెగ్మెంట్ విత్ సో మెనీ న్యూ టర్మ్స్ కమింగ్ అప్. But
can I get out?
No, sir, that's exactly why we need you here.
Door is locked.
The door is locked, and the various aspects of buddhi that Swami is describing, these two wings of satyam and ritam that Swami talks of, I think we need some light on that, sir. If you can explain what is the difference between satyam and ritam.
This is a very, very important question. Before I talk about satyam and ritam, I will go back to the paraphrase of the Gitavani's essence, which I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Actions are performed here, but the motivation should come from something transcendental, namely the Atman.
Correct.
Now, we talk of truth.
Mm-hmm.
What do we mean by truth? Normally we mean factual accuracy.
Correct.
So something written that must be accurate in relation to facts, or something is spoken that must be accurate in relation to facts. So you are asked to raise your hand, put your other hand on some sacred book and say, I'll speak the truth, nothing but the truth and all that stuff. But what is this truth? Is it just accuracy of facts? Supposing a person is deaf and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Does truth have no existence for that person because that person cannot hear, cannot speak?
Correct.
So, is the person always truthful or atruthful or non-truthful? This is, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, being truthful is not just being accurate with respect to words.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shady and phony definition. Being truthful means being truthful to your true intrinsic nature.
Okay.
What is your nature? You are spark of the divine. Therefore, being truthful means your actions must reflect, and your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, your words must all reflect your inner nature.
Mm-hmm.
That inner nature's attributes are satyam, dharmam, shanti, prema, ahimsa, kshama, daya, karuna, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is the real world, and there is the transcendental supreme world.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, rhythm is truth in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Satyam is truth in the world in which we live.
Okay.
That is this is a projection of that.
Okay.
And this must be connected to that. That connection is needed.
In fact, in this context, it looks like that is buddhi, because it's the two wings of the same bird.
Yeah, buddhi is what brings that information and say, listen buddy, this is the wrong action, this is the right action. It helps you to practice truth, observe truth, adhere to truth.
Correct.
And also steadfastly. And in this connection, we have to also recall what Swami has said about education, because that is related to being smart and clever.
Mm-hmm.
all that comes from secular knowledge. You can become a great computer expert. You can become such an expert, you'll say, why the hell should I work? Let me commit bank frauds with the computer and make money. People do that. So, that is knowledge gone berserk. Why? Because buddhi is absent.
Correct.
So Swami says, you must not only have secular knowledge, you must have spiritual knowledge, knowledge of apara, the other world. And these must be strongly intertwined, like the two strands of DNA. You can't have DNA with only one strand.
Correct.
Then it's not DNA.
Correct.
It is some stuff.
Some RNA.
I don't know what the hell it is, but it's not DNA. DNA must have two strands and there must be those bridges.
Correct.
So, secular and spiritual knowledge must be integrated. Why? Then only your actions will have linkages to the other world. Then only satya, which is born out of rhythm, will be reflected in your thoughts and words and actions. So this life must always be related to something else. And Swami referred to yoga.
Correct.
That yoga is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yogam is actually that which brings you union, creates a union with God.
Mm-hmm.
There are many ways of doing that.
Correct.
And in this context, buddhi, if used properly, will bring you closer to God.
Correct.
That is why Krishna talks about buddhi yoga in the second chapter.
Oh, okay.
Arjuna, first get hold of buddhi yoga, then you are on the right track.
He says that, nasti buddhira yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavaya shanti, ashantasya kutashukam.
So that's good. You have given a bit of the Bhagavad Gita.
So there is no happiness without aligning yourself to the buddhi. But the whole concept of buddhi looks so big and so confusing. But the beautiful part is, he says, shraddha is the head of this bird. That means, does Swami mean that your interest towards knowing the truth, your interest towards knowing the actual truth of who you are, is important even while you are living in this world?
No. It's more than interest.
Okay.
I have faith.
Okay.
I have faith in that there is something beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
And at best I have come from that.
Okay.
You see, I'll quote two personalities, both well known,
mm-hmm,
in this connection. I gave a music talk recently, and it was related to a speech of Gandhi, mm-hmm, which he recorded in 1931. The first sentence is, there is an indefinable, mysterious power that pervades everything. I feel it, though I cannot see it.
Correct.
And he had faith in that power.
Mm-hmm.
And second one person I mentioned is Clinton. In 2004, there was a big tsunami, if you remember.
Yes. Right.
That tsunami was the result of a huge earthquake off Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And the maximum damage was caused on the island of Sumatra, in a place called Aceh, I think. Even there, there was total destruction. And he said, someone else is in charge. As simple as that. Now, do you believe that someone else is there and he is in charge? That faith is needed. Now, that faith is lacking in most of the people today who are very intelligent, who are geeks or whatever you call them. They may invent all sorts of things, but they have absolutely no faith in God, belief in God, and a transcendental power, and all that it implies, including truth and justice. You say, look, I'm smart, I did everything,
mm-hmm,
and I'm entitled to the fruits of my labor. In other words, they create a justification for winner takes all. I made money, it is mine,
mm-hmm,
I don't owe anything to anybody. So it creates not only false logic,
mm-hmm,
but sows the seeds of adharma.
Correct.
And it is very strong these days. The other day I heard an interview which Farid Zakaria had with the head of Goldman Sachs,
mm-hmm,
which is a very big investment banker in Wall Street. The head of that says, well, today winner takes all. That is the belief of society, so that is the way we live, we must come to terms with it. There are unfortunate people who lose out, we must try to do something for them. That is a way of justifying adharma. Adharma always finds some reasons to justify itself and say it is right.
And with Detroit claiming for bankruptcy, I think we saw the poor case of those policemen. He says, what am I to do? I will not get pension.
That is one poor policeman. There are millions
exactly.
of teachers. See, basically, you grab because of your greed. Greed comes into your mind and greed destroys. Greed is worse than all the nuclear bombs you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
One man's greed is enough to destroy the whole world. That's why Mahatma Gandhi said, the planet has enough to sustain all the people,
need.
But doesn't have enough to meet the need, greed of, satisfy the greed of one man. And that is really true. So, faith is needed. If you don't have faith,
mm-hmm.
you are getting ready to destroy the world.
Just a stupid question here. Somebody like the person from Goldman Sachs, he is able to get away with his philosophy of life. And till the end of this birth, he goes by his selfish nature. And he's able to lead life, quote-unquote, very successfully in the world. What happens to him?
By the way, it's a very standard dictum in the world of teaching. There are no stupid questions. There are only stupid answers.
Okay.
No, but this is the... It's a very important and interesting question. More than interesting, it's important. We think of life as something that begins at birth and ends at death.
Mm-hmm.
That is true of the body.
Correct.
But we are not just the body. Mm-hmm. We are made up of three things. So the question can be asked, what happens to the mind?
Mm-hmm.
When the fellow is buried, is the mind buried along with him? Or when the fellow is cremated, does the mind evaporate?
Mm-hmm.
The mind cannot be touched by the forces of the inert world.
Correct.
Lightning, thunder, fire, nothing can touch the mind. It's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is the repository of desires.
Correct.
The person would have had all kinds of desires.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would have been realized. This is the bank that contains the desires.
Mm-hmm.
And mind exists along with the Atma. So the mind and the Atma join together and they form what is called a subtle body.
Mm-hmm.
It is said the subtle body can have experience without the need of senses. What that experience is, we do not know. But this much Vedanta says, the subtle body hangs around
mm-hmm.
and then gets into another body. And then the mind now has a fresh opportunity to exercise its desires and
okay.
seek fulfillment.
Okay.
Swami says, this is just like a fellow taking off the shirt and wearing a new shirt. The old desires still continue. What he was...
Mm-hmm.
His ambitions of yesterday are there today and they have even grown perhaps. So, this process of birth and rebirth, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, as Shankara said, continues.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna says over a period of many cycles,
mm-hmm.
usually there is progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it, when you come very close, my grace will save you and make you merge with me.
Okay.
So, there is a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
There is no free lunch, as they say in the market. So anybody who is greedy now
mm-hmm.
will get it back.
Okay.
And in some cases, this has been disclosed by Swami in many manners.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was told that on one occasion, parents came with their daughters who were suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do something? Very bad case of physical disability, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be aggravated in the next birth. It is better for them to pay it off mm-hmm. now and be free from it.
Mm-hmm.
You decide what you want.
Okay.
They said, Swami, let your will prevail,
mm-hmm.
not our will. We go by what you say. He said, then leave it alone. It's
mm-hmm.
better for them. And those people also accepted, the
mm-hmm.
people who are concerned, the afflicted ones. So this is a very long story. It doesn't
Correct.
Disappear.
In fact, once I remember Swami was asked, Swami, why do devotees like Sakubai and Tukaram have to suffer so much
mm-hmm.
after having love and devotion to God? Swami just asked, did they tell you that they suffered? So we go by a perception that this person is enjoying life and this person is going through a lot of difficulties. I think Swami alone knows what is going on in the mind of the person who has done all these things and has got to be
in fact, ready. Since you mentioned Sakyabhai, I have to recall a beautiful drama staged in Purnachandra Hall on Ashada Ekadasi many, many years ago. Normally, the Bombay program, morning program is taken care of by the Bombay.
I think the was 2002, sir.
So they staged Sakyabhai. I don't remember the year. But what happened was, there is a side stage, mm-hmm. and there Krishna and Rukmini are having a conversation. And Sakyabhai is about to marry, and Rukmini says, Krishna, how can you let her do this, go through this? Mm-hmm. She wants you. Mm-hmm. And Krishna says, Rukmini, you don't seem to know how to get juice from a sugar cane. So it was, there is a divine purpose behind it.
And before Swami came to that Ritam and Satyam, Swami makes a beautiful point of the buddhi being like the mirror which reflects the sun rays into the house.
Correct.
But never can be as effulgent as the sun itself, sun rays itself.
Mm-hmm. Buddhi is a construct which can be described by various imageries and analogies. The one which I normally use mm-hmm. is a hotline.
Correct.
The hotline is normally between the presidents of two countries and first came into existence during the Cold War mm-hmm. when there was the chance of accidental war mm-hmm. due to instrumentation failure and all that. So they decided to have a hotline between Moscow and Washington and it would be checked every 20 minutes. One fellow in Moscow will dial the other fellow and read out something in Russian. The other fellow will talk back or something. A routine thing every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, buddhi is the hotline between the mind and the atma. If the mind is smart, mm-hmm. it will keep the buddhi in working condition. And Swami says, Om is God's telephone number. So, mind has to go on saying, Om.
So it's very interesting because I remember the awareness class when you gave this very analogy of the hotline. And I remember one more thing which you said. How do you keep this thing functioning? You have to keep using it. You know, one of the first things.
Yeah, that's what they used to do in the Moscow. Because you don't know whether it's in working condition. You have to keep using it.
Mm. So one has to keep listening to the conscience to keep that hotline alive.
So how does Om come into the picture, sir? Like
Om is Pranava's mantra.
Is the
So when you chant that, you are sort of, you know, trying to connect with the primordial source, which is Atman.
Okay.
So, the mind has to connect to the Atman.
Correct.
The simplest is, that's why Swami said, Om is God's telephone number.
Okay. And then he goes on to this, another analogy of how the river is flowing. It's very pure when it's in the source. And one of your favorite examples of Ganga and the pollution that it acquires by the time it reaches the ocean fits in exactly here. Because as the river flows, it gathers a lot of pollution.
See, the basic point is, the entire power of the body mm-hmm. comes from God. Okay. Whether it's the motor power or the mind power, both of them come from God. Mm-hmm. But when the power is exercised by the senses and the mind, mm-hmm. if they are not in good shape, they pollute. So the power ultimately manifests as actions, thoughts and words. Thoughts, right. Words and action, all these three. That's what comes out of this system called the body.
Correct, correct.
Okay. So it is like the source of the power is Atma, but it flows out through the mind and the body.
Correct.
It comes out as polluted stuff because there is contamination in the mind, there is contamination in the senses. So that's sewage water being let into Ganga.
Mm. Sir, you spoke about faith being a very important entity in this whole process. Mm. I remember that there was an incident which happened when Sir was asked the question of, is it possible for an atheist to attain Atma Sakshatkar? And Sir had given an explanation. I think Swami had also given an explanation to add to that.
I don't know about that, but I was apparently answering that question. Mm-hmm. I have been asked that question in the school. Mm-hmm. The boy that said, can an atheist get moksha? Mm-hmm. Says, he doesn't believe in God. I said, look, I don't know what you mean by God. You first define God. Mm-hmm. Then I'll answer your question. Mm-hmm. So he was not able to. I said, well, truth is God.
Correct.
Now, if that fellow believes in truth, mm-hmm. and goes by his conscience, mm-hmm. then he is believing in God. He is believing in Nirakara Brahman. You mm-hmm. believe in Sakara Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no problem. And I was told that when I was doing this Q&A mm-hmm. on Radio Sai, this question was being discussed. Mm-hmm. And apparently Satyajit went to Swami. Swami, Swami, in Radio Sai, this man is explaining this. I'm an atheist. I said, what is there? Any fellow can get, all he has to do is to get rid of Dehabhimanam.
Oh.
So it is as simple as that. Because Dehabhimanam leads to attachment to this ephemeral world.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I get rid of that attachment, I am free. That's why Swami used to say, moksha is mohakshaya.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the most important thing. It doesn't mean that you have to be to get rid of Dehabhimanam, you have to be a Christian or Muslim or Hindu. But if you happen to be that, Swami always said, be a good Hindu, be a good Christian. Because automatically, when you are a good person,
mm-hmm.
you tend to be more focused on others. So you have less of swartham and saprayojanam. And the lesser they become, the lesser Dehabhimanam also becomes.
Mm-hmm.
You are always concerned about others. Okay. You are not concerned about your body and your welfare. There are some compulsive helpers, do-gooders.
Mm-hmm.
They have a better chance of liberation than people who believe in only themselves.
A perfect example of Swami himself in his
life. Swami of course has to be that. But the point is, he showed that it can be done with by humans.
Correct.
It can be done by humans.
Just remember that the first thing Swami told as he came out from his room in Kodaikanal in the year 1999, it was about 5 in the morning, 5, 5.15. Swami came out and there was this curtain. Swami just opened it a wee bit and he was peeping from that. And we were wondering what Swami is looking at. Then he looked back at us and he says, do you know devotees are standing there right from 4 o'clock in the morning? And it is so cold outside, you boys are happily sitting here with a carpeted floor and they are standing there in the cold for my darshan. So, as you said, he is always thinking of his devotees, he is always thinking of others.
He did that all the time. He was invited to place X.
Mm-hmm.
Swami, you have built a nice building, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, very nice. Chala santosham. When are you coming, Swami? I can come. But there are problems if I come. No, what problems, Swami? We'll take care of everything. Not that, you fellow. When Swami comes, a lot of people will come, devotees will come. Where will they stay? In your city, there is no place to stay.
Correct.
And they'll be left high and dry. I don't want to inconvenience them. That means I'm not coming to your place.
Well, I don't think we have time for a second clip.
Yes, I think we've almost come to the end of the...
But
you mean to say I stole time? I'm sorry about
that. No, sir, it was a pleasure to have you. And
no, sir, actually...
Let us hear from the listeners about that. No, maybe I'll write a lot of letters. I know Radio Sai...
This segment with so many new terms and so many things coming up, I think it was a very fruitful discussion because there was a lot of clarity on what is Satyam, what is Ritam, what is Shraddha, and what is yoga, because all these are parts, aspects of the buddhi. One thing which still confuses me is, what about scientists? Sorry to ask you the question, because you are a scientist.
No, yes, you are assuming I am a scientist. How do you know that assumption is right?
Especially because Swami is talking here about which is greater, Shraddha or Medha.
Yeah.
The question which Vikramaditya is...
No, that is very simple. If I believe in God, that is any day superior, because at the end of the day I am going to be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
I may lose a few battles here and there. The guy who is got a lot of intellect and who makes a lot of killing on the market, how long will it last? When he dies, how much does he take with him? When he is born next time, mm-hmm. whether he is born a beggar, what's all that account sitting in his name in the bank going
Correct.
To do?
Correct.
So that is a blind faith in the wrong thing. It's a wrong bet he makes.
Mm-hmm.
If I put it that way.
Correct.
There is a need for humility and to recognize that we are here not as a biological accident or anything like that, but by a higher principle which
Correct.
Has ordained that we shall be here. That humility must be there.
Correct.
And once I have that humility and I am able to see that I am connected to something which I can't comprehend, but it is there.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, I begin to experience it in various ways. What is the meaning of experience it? I feel joy. I feel happiness. Just like that. I feel happiness helping a person. You know, I saw a picture of a baby, newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's sleeping. It's a few hours old. It's got a beautiful smile. I've shown it to so many people. I've shown that slide in America. They were all stunned. He said, what's it happy about? Has it won a lottery? It doesn't even know its mother. It is in contact with its own self. It is able to experience its real self. That is going to go off very shortly. The moment it sees toys, chocolates, and ice cream and stuff like that, then it begins to fight. So it is a reality. It is there.
Mm-hmm.
That peace that one experiences, you know, you go out into the wilderness, you are all alone. You feel happy. What are you happy with? You are happy being with yourself, which is reflected outside as nature. You are in harmony with nature. Real happiness comes when you are in harmony with your true self. That is the Atma. And constantly various clouds come and obscure it, and you lose sight, and you go for happiness in the wrong directions. All of them are fake. We easily fall for fake. All clever fellows fall for fake, and we call them clever. They are dumb suckers.
In fact, with science tending more towards quantum science and towards metaphysics, I'm sure there's a lot more awareness of what about the unseen power or the unknown power that's being accepted more and more by the scientists.
Not yet. It is still a bad word to talk about consciousness and all that. They'll say you're a nut. But there are people who are coming out and trying to ask the question. See, what is happening is, whether we like it or not, nature is going to lift one veil after the other. Through quantum mechanics, it raises one veil.
Mm-hmm.
Then through the what is called the Allen aspect experiment, it raised another veil, and they have got a thing called quantum entanglement. It looks like everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
What is this connection? Could it be consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
No. We don't know anything about it. We don't talk about it. But some people are talking like that. So maybe there will be some more discoveries which will make people sit up and think what is going on. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to wait for all those things to happen. Lord Krishna said it 5,000 years ago.
Hmm.
And Swami has said it 5,000 times. So, I mean, if you include all the interviews, personal conversations in the sports field, in the interview room, and what you call Trai sessions, Purnachandra Hall sessions, just like that, walking in the veranda, if you integrate all that, definitely has said this 5,000 times.
Very true.
And still we are groping, and we don't have faith. Who is dumb?
So, I think faith is definitely a very important aspect.
Absolutely. It's vital.
So, I think that's a very powerful point to conclude this discussion. Dear listeners, on behalf of all of you and on behalf of Sai Prakash, I thank Sir for joining us. And on behalf of all of us here, we offer this program in Bhagwan's lotus feet and thank him for this opportunity to sit and reflect on his powerful, profound message. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Bishu for the last segment of the day, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Sai Prakash and with us, Professor G. Venkatraman. We are thanking you for your company, and Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.